You are listening to www.infinitesmile.org. Enjoy these Zen-inspired talks given by Michael McAllister, followed up by question and answer exchanges with groups of his students.
Albert Einstein said the true value of a human being can be found in the degree to which he has attained liberation from the self. And liberation comes from stepping out from behind the cage of mind, the cage of ego, the cage that separates every one of us from the deep singularity, the universe, the infinite, God, being, whatever you want to call it. And this separation is done through one very simple mechanism. So our degree to which we attain, as Einstein suggests, liberation from the self, is to recognize this impediment to spirit manifests in several ways. So we recognize what these ways are, and then we start to see them point in a very, very specific direction. And it's the direction away from spirit. So we can look at them as hindrances. The last couple of talks I've dealt with these, the hindrances. And the hindrances, the five major hindrances to an authentic spiritual awakening, are the very things in you, or I should say actually, the very thing in you that feels sensual desire. The very thing in you that feels anger. The very thing in you that feels sloth, torpor, boredom. The very thing in you that feels restlessness and worry. The very thing in you that feels doubt. And the thing in you that feels all of these things is the very same thing in you that keeps you from meditating. It's the very thing in you that keeps you from enlightenment. It is the only thing that keeps you from enlightenment. It is the only thing in you that keeps you from dissolving into the deep singularity as the deep singularity. So we're behind this cage, we're behind this wall that is consistently nurtured in our day-to-day. Each of these things is aspects of what we would call the contraction. The expansion would be the opening into spirit, and the contraction would be attachment, would be ego, would be everything in you that resists what is. Everything in you that feels defended. That is the activity of the separate self-sense that we carry with us day in and day out. And those of us that carry that separate self-sense very, very close and hold on to it very tightly really struggle with this practice of stillness, really struggle with opening. When it does happen, if it does, it's usually major. But still, those of us that cling very tightly have a very, very difficult time letting go. And the letting go is the awakening when it's full, when it's conscious. So the aspects of contraction, I really wanted to spend some time talking about doubt I think doubt is among the most powerful, because instead of doubt being an allowance, if you will, of wonder, instead of doubt being an opening, doubt is that in us which feels absolutely positively sure. And the teaching suggests that that in us which feels absolutely positively sure is absolutely positively contracted. It is absolutely positively the wrong direction from stillness. It is absolutely the opposite of equanimity, of being open to whatever arises, of recognizing that the universe will give us precisely every single possible opportunity in every single moment to awaken. Enlightenment is available only here, only now. It's not something that happens ever in the future. It's not something that happened in the past and then we lost it. Enlightenment will only ever happen now, and the universe gives us everything we need right here, right now. Being open to that, being open to whatever arises, and having a curiosity about it, having a wonder about it, instead of being absolutely positively sure, allows for peace to unfold in our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. And then we walk and talk and listen as a bodhisattva, as a saint, as someone who is truly helpful and is spectacularly ordinary. So doubt then is resistance to what is. It's all about a mind orientation that resists what's being presented. This does not correspond with the past story that I have had written and that has gotten me through life thus far. Therefore, it must be wrong, and I'm absolutely positively sure. And when we get into that space, there's no room for love. There's no room, and when I say love, I mean the kind of love that is infinite and expansive. Because the center of psychological, spiritual gravity in the place where we are absolutely positively sure is one that is bent on defiling what is being offered and compartmentalizing it in such a way that it takes and strips the infinity away from it and puts it into some type of structure, form, or translates it into some type of idea that ego can manage. There's no wonder in that space. There's knowing. There's surety. And when we are there, we are asleep. Doubt is always an evaluation. It's an evaluation of a mind-centered, an egoically oriented view. And it's an assumption that this deeply personal view is right, is correct. And if it's a personal view, it is entirely relative. It is entirely other than an impersonal view. And the impersonal view, the truly generous view, the expansive view, the open view, is truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth of infinity. It's the truth that there is universe not only outside of us, but inside of us. The lie is that we feel separate from that, and we live from that lie, from that delusion. Even though the universe gives us in every single moment everything we need to awaken. So if we can look at personal views, personal opinions, personal convictions, personal belief systems, or collective views, collective belief systems, collective convictions, if we can look at those as being kind of contracted, we start treading this really, really radical, strange terrain of, well, what is open for me? What is open for collectivized versions of me, groups of us? What is truth that can in any way be absolute? Those questions are great questions. And there's no real answer for what ultimate truth is, except to say that all wisdom traditions point us absolutely in the same direction. They're all telling us which mountain to go up, which mountain to climb. They're even telling us what the view should kind of look like. But this is very, very difficult work, and most people don't want to do it. They would much rather be absolutely, positively sure. You will never go very far up that mountain. I will never go very far up that mountain. None of us will if it's about, here's what's right, here's what's true. Unless that truth comes from a recognition of total surrender, totally letting go to whatever that personalized version of truth could be, into an impersonal openness to what that truth actually is in every single moment. That truth is the present moment. That truth is the uncontracted. That truth is total openness. That truth is fearlessness. That truth is freedom. That truth is liberation from a separate sense of self. If we can look at our doubt as being the very thing that diminishes our opportunity for awakening, we can then begin to study what it is that we doubt. If we can't begin to open ourselves up to what it is that we doubt, if we operate with this habitual flair towards knowing absolutely positively what's right, and we don't ever question our doubt, we don't ever question our absolute conviction, surety, you know, whatever you want to call it, we're not going anywhere except to our grave. When we get to that moment right before death, we'll get it. But the point is to get to that realization before we die, so that we can then live a life that is imbued with the fullness, that is imbued with spirit, that is imbued with an expansive, unattached awareness that not only carries us into a greater freedom, but carries the rest of the world with us. This way, a Buddha with a Buddha enlightens. And this is a huge responsibility, and it can't be taken lightly. It also is not always comfortable. This is not for the faint of heart, this work. Because we're not talking about having some type of egoic negotiation where we just suspend our doubt and therefore we are saved. We're talking about studying our doubt, recognizing its essence, and finding the essence of that doubt is actually the essence of truth. That the universe is so spacious it can hold both the truth and our doubt of the truth. The universal awareness is so spacious that it has enough love for the entire world, no matter what its form. The universal truth is so spacious that it shows up continually, whether we know it or not. All we have to do is be generous with ourselves and generous with others. In this process, when we do this consciously, we then very simply begin to attain liberation from the self. So, if we recognize that doubt is one of the most compelling scripts that ego will ever read, deliver on the stage of mind, since it can always hide behind its own sense of truth, even when it is being offered the expansive essence of emptiness as the impersonal reality of the all. If we can recognize this, if we can witness this experience, we can actually begin to let it go. And in letting our doubt go, we fill ourselves with love. We become an expression of love. And this is not to say that we should be blind to an intuition that we may feel, to the subtle energies that give us pause in any particular situation. It's merely another form of attachment if we go into everything as if nothing could happen. Of course things can happen. For instance, we can have a discriminating awareness about situations and then respond appropriately there with our full consciousness. But if we doubt, if we are sure, absolutely 100% positively sure, we can't be open to what could potentially enlighten. So check doubt. Check it with an open heart and open mind. Check doubt with an open heart, an open mind, and open hands as we really endeavor to touch the face of God. If anyone wishes to ask a question, we get to pass the Wibby stick. Had to pass it around the room. It's just, if you have a question, speak into the mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So every time I feel certain about something,
mm-hmm.
that's a red flag.
It's a red flag. It doesn't mean you shouldn't feel certain about it.
Right.
It means study your certainty.
I don't know. It seems to me that you seem so sure about what you're telling us about the impersonal truth.
That it sounds hypocritical, maybe.
Yeah, like that's a certainty. And then
right.
like my doubt would be like being unsure of that idea.
Right, right.
So I'm
can
sort
I let
of confused
Can I let
with
you
that.
In on a secret?
Yes.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. The feelings or the expression that I'm giving you come from personal experience,
mm-hmm.
okay? But the experiences were absolutely impersonal. Furthermore, the experiences were simply experiences. Am I sure that I'm right? Uh-uh. I'm not. Am I sure that another person is wrong? Uh-uh. I don't know. They could be wrong. They might be right. I would go so far as to say that most likely, everyone is right. And the sooner we can recognize that everyone has a kernel of truth in their articulation of truth, I think we're going to be on much better ground as a people. Am I sure of that? Mm-mm. I'm not trying to dodge, Val. I'm not trying to dodge what you're saying. It's just that I don't know. And the more we recognize that I don't know, the more we start really looking very simply at the I. What is the I that doesn't know? What is the I that knows absolutely positively? Not being sure is different than doubt in the way I'm just speaking tonight.
Okay.
All right? So doubt in the way I'm speaking of it is like, no, I doubt.
Okay.
Not being sure is being open to all sorts of possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more we are open to all sorts of possibilities, it's like the more we are open to water nurturing the seeds of awakening in us. So in being open like that, we can flower potentially.
Michael, are you talking about the doubt versus being sure? Is my reality is I am sure that Tracy frowned at me.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy's reality is she had something on her mind.
Right.
So letting go of recognizing her reality is valid, my reality is valid, and letting go of my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's openness.
Right, because doubt is what?
Questioning.
It's mm-mm.
Judgment.
There you go. Questioning is open. Okay? Doubt is an attachment to something other than, yeah. Okay? When we fully commit to some type of practice, a spiritual practice, whatever it is, if we fully commit to the practice with a full heart and a full mind, and instead of doubting what the teaching is telling us, we question what the teaching is telling us, we can make some ferociously beautiful headway.
It's like in mediation, we try to get people to realize there's multiple valid realities, and that kind of sounds a little catchy, but it's so true, because if you are in conflict with somebody, if you can accept that their reality is valid and your reality is valid,
mm-hmm.
then there's this openness to resolve whatever or manage whatever your difference is. You may not
right.
resolve it, but you can manage it.
Right. Right. I think that's a great way of putting it, that we have a tendency to make these fundamental errors in attributing our stories onto other people. And this is the opposite of generosity.
It's constant, every day, every day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, right.
You said you said everything you need for enlightenment is right here, provided mm-hmm. by the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've heard you or someone else say, we're already enlightened anyway. They're just barriers to realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are simply words for me. I have absolutely no... What does that mean?
That means that the minute you take the I out of it, Tracy, it'll make sense. That means the minute you take the contraction out of it, it makes sense. That means the minute you take the doubt out of it, the minute you take any anger, any residual story, anything in you that is defended against the deep singularity, when you take that out of the way, there is only deep singularity, which is what you've always been.
There was a question earlier about if you feel certain about something, you should doubt it.
No.
Oh, what was it?
I was saying if you feel doubt.
Right.
And you, which is typically, if you're doubting something, and you're pretty damn sure of that doubt, stop right there. Study the doubt. Okay? Because what happens is our doubt or our being absolutely sure that something is not right or not, you know, we absolutely positively doubt something. I mean, there are varying degrees, Mark, and I think this relates to your question a little bit. There are varying degrees of doubt, okay? Typically, doubt for us means, as opposed to, huh. Recognize the difference there? And the huh, the wonder, is what keeps us open to what the universe offers us in every single second. It's what helps us get out of the way of the infinity. Okay? Now, I kind of jumped on your question there, so did it?
No, that was very helpful because I misunderstood something earlier. But questioning is positive and doubting is negative, so to speak.
I think we should really be, so to speak, yes. But we want to be really careful about saying this is good and this is bad. What we can do is say that this offers opening. This offers closure. Make sense? Both are offerings, and the universe gives us ample opportunity for either a closure or an opening. In every second, there's that opportunity. Our work, then, is to see if we can open more. Okay? That's this practice. What happens miraculously as we practice this openness, as we become more and more and more open, is that the closure becomes a tool instead of a habit. It's something we can use instead of it using us. And in this way, instead of being only atomized, you know, individuals with personal views clamoring and beating on each other and defending and attacking all the time, we can recognize that there is something about us that is absolutely identical to that which is in everybody else. And that awareness, then, everything arises within it. If everything arises within our awareness, then everything arises within who we are at our essence. That means at our essence, we are nothing other than the universe. Walk down the street like that, see what happens.